Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on FMR. Invicta Holdings, one of South Africa's most strategically diversified industrial groups and a company which billionaire Christo Wiese is a major shareholder, just released its interim results, growing top line 6%, gross margins holding firm at 32%, and sustainable headline earnings per share up a brisk 19%. But the industrial parts business is still battling a weak local economy. There's currency volatility that's been whipsawing the income statement. Yet the capital equipment division, buoyed by mining recovery, has delivered standout growth. You add in a big offshore acquisition in the UK, another buyback of over 3 million shares at deep value, and Invicta's characteristic focus on cash generation, and you've really got a group that's executing on a very deliberate playbook. I'm joined now by CEO Stephen Joffe. Stephen, good to have you back. Before we get granular, how would you characterize the true trading environment for you over the last 6 months?
I think the industrial sector remains tough, but the resilient aftermarket value chains of our businesses consisting of parts, maintenance, and engineering support remain strong. But what affected us in these 6 months was a lack of liquidity in Mozambique, which resulted in us holding back certain orders from our branches there, which ultimately impacted some of our sales.
And what drove that lack of liquidity in Mozambique is just some of the geopolitical tensions that we've been seeing in that country flowing through into the currency market?
Probably, but there's clearly a lack of dollars available in Mozambique, and it's affecting the ability to pay foreign suppliers.
Now, if you were to look at a top line level, you grew steadily 6%, but your operating profit in finance and FX before finance and FX was down 12%, selling and admin costs rising 11%. Where exactly is the cost pressure coming from, and how much of that is structural versus temporary?
So if you take out the ones off in like profit on disposal of investments both last year and this year, and you strip out the acquisition costs for the Spaldings investment plus 1 month of operation costs of Spaldings, you'll see our actual costs were only up 6%, which is in line with our expectation and our stringent cost control.
And your commentary does indicate some of last year's cost-saving initiatives only coming through in the second half of this financial year. Could you quantify the expected cost relief that you expect when that does come through?
So a lot of the de-gearing that took place and the redemption of preference shares took place last year. In addition to that, we've managed to buy back ordinary shares at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And that's what resulted in the growth of our headline earnings per share this year to the tune of 19%.
Right. And then you did mention Spaulding. It contributed, 20% of RPE's growth in just 1 month of consolidation. And that's a meaningful number. Just remind us what you've actually bought here. And is this a platform for broader European expansion or a bolt-on optimization play?
It's more a bolt-on optimization play. I mean, Spaldings is a leading distributor of agricultural and ground care components in the UK. It's known for extensive range of high-quality replacement parts and machinery, and it has a reputation of over 70 years for innovation, quality, and customer service. So we see it very much as a standalone business. We're proud to own it. It fits exactly into what we like to own in Invicta. And we sold our agricultural business in South Africa about 5 years ago. But it's a space that we're very familiar with and an industry that we want to get back into in a bigger way.
We know the UK economy has been under a lot of pressure, a lot of focus this week on Rachel Reeves's budget as well. What are you seeing on the ground in terms of demand in the UK?
I think the uncertainty is certainly playing havoc with demand. But, you know, ultimately, the UK is one of the major economies in the world, and we think the UK will trade through this. Our particular business, in the case of Spaldings, is very much a localized farming business. And at the end of the day, people need to eat. So we're confident that labor or not labor, the farmers will carry on and our business will continue to do well.
And just sticking with that, just your broad industrial parts business, RPI and RPA, they remain under some strain with revenue flat, profits down. Well, we know beyond the UK, Poland's also still quite soft. Where are you seeing green shoots in that auto agri sector specifically? And you've spoken about extracting group synergies in the European operations. What does that look like in Rand terms?
Where we're experiencing pressure has been like in a country like Poland, where Poland used to supply a lot of its product to the east, to Russia and Belarus. And we don't do that anymore. And that's obviously had an impact on that business. And what we are doing now is trying to expand westward. So we've opened up our first distribution center in Spain. The business is already breaking even, and we will carry on with the strategy. South Africa, actually, the automotive business has been doing very well. And we think it's going to continue into the next 6 months as well.
How are you impacted by the structural shift that we're seeing with just the rise, the inexorable rise of marques from the East, from India, from China? It's certainly impacting the second-hand car market. If you look at We Buy Cars results, if you chat to the Motuses and the Bidvests of this world, they're seeing consumers switch over. How does that impact Invicta?
So we're very much in the aftermarket. So if I could explain it like this, that when you buy your car, often it would come with a warranty from the supplier for a period of time, maybe 5 years. And during those 5 years, you'll get your parts from the OEM that supplied your car. After that, you might come to a company that Invicta supplies, and we supply best in the world aftermarket parts. Now, the Chinese cars that we've just talked about, they're still new to the market. So pretty much most of the Chinese cars that are sold in South Africa will come with that OEM guarantee. But after a period of time, be it 5 years or a bit longer in some cases, people will be looking for aftermarket parts. And there again, Invicta will continue to source from our factories in China and to supply it. So it's just really a process of time when our aftermarket businesses will come in.
And benefit from the expanding overall car park, as you say, because you're an aftermarket supplier, the increased number of vehicles does bode well for the business into the future as consumers turn to aftermarket products. Looking at capital equipment, that was really a standout performer for you. So that's supplying into the mining value chain. So to some extent, this is cyclical. We have seen mining recovering. But given your brands and your distribution footprint, how sustainable do you see this growth if global commodity prices do subside to some extent into 2026?
We're seeing more and more green shoots in the mining space based off inquiries both in South Africa and in Africa. So far, we're pretty positive that this trend will carry on for the rest of this financial year. Our businesses are robust. We distribute very good brands in the Hyundai and the Doosan brands. And the price points are very, very competitive. So we think we can still make good inroads in those spaces.
And speaking of Hyundai, Kianan earnings down 12%. The JV earnings went from 79 to 69 million. It's still material for the business. We've got tariffs, got the Singapore to China relocation, and currency issues all cited in these results. Are we past the worst of the relocation and the tariff impacts, or is 2026 still going to be bumpy?
So if I can take you through all those things, we sold our main warehouse in Singapore last year, and we relocated to a warehouse in Shanghai in China. And, you know, in the first few months of this year, the management there were busy just organizing the warehouse. We've commenced trading, and we are building steadily, almost back to the pre-relocation levels. And we're starting to get the benefit of the restructure coming through in the monthly numbers. But obviously, the first few months were very rocky. With regard to tariffs, and I'm sure you've seen the tariffs 1 minute over 100, then down to 25. With the uncertainty, a lot of American clients are holding back. And when the tariffs are very high, they're not buying from China. And what we actually need is for the tariffs to be finalized. And then a company like ours can decide whether we continue expanding our factory in Japan from where we'll supply America, or we'll continue from China. But we do need to know what the relative tariffs are so we can understand what our relative costs will be in both jurisdictions. Yeah. And the last thing that you mentioned was the currency. It was an amazing 6 months that the Singapore dollar actually appreciated about 4% against the US dollar. So we report in Singapore dollars. So part of that distinction that you mentioned in the beginning of 10%, at least 4 or 5% of that just related to currency.
I mean, the currency all over the world has been extremely volatile, thanks largely to what's going on in the US with the dollar weakening and then strengthening again after Liberation Day for a little while. We've seen the rand swinging, I mean, 18 rand 31 at one stage to now low 17s. We did see those FX losses of 104 million offset much of the gains. Given that volatility, are you reconsidering your hedging philosophy, or are you comfortable carrying your FX through earnings volatility?
No, I think we're going to carry on keeping our US dollar earnings unhedged, and we will continue to just hedge our South African exposure. So I think we're going to keep our strategy the same for the time being.
And then on share buybacks, you bought back 3.1 million shares at around, I think, 31 rand a share versus a NAV now above 60. Huge discount. Is that buyback activity going to remain a central capital allocation lever for Invicta for now?
Yeah, and every time we present an opportunity to our investment committee and the board, we always compare that to just buying back our own shares. And, you know, we have to really feel that there's a lot of growth in an acquisition to justify it. So absolutely, we'll continue to look at share buybacks if the liquidity and the valuations make sense.
And when do you see that discount to NAV closing? I know in South Africa, there does seem to be a fresh wave of optimism. We got off the grey list. You know, the GNU seems to be doing better. The medium-term budget was slightly better than expected. The S&P ratings upgrade. So, you know, South Africa is important. It's not everything to Invicta. You've got to have a look at globally, obviously, what's going on with tariffs. But when do you see that discount narrowing?
Michael, I think what we need to start seeing is a bit of South African tailwinds. And I think it might be coming. But I felt for some time we're like a bit of a coiled spring, and we just need to be unleashed. So we have such wonderful businesses and with such wonderful teams of management and really, really entrenched supply chains. But really what we need to start seeing is the broader industry growing. And in that environment, I think you'd be surprised by how well our businesses will do here.
Yeah, I think there could be a rapid re-rating for Invicta. And I think across the JSE, there are many such businesses and unlisted businesses in the mid-cap space as well, mid-market, that you know, could immediately lean into that spare capacity and excess capacity. Stephen Joffe, thank you very much. CEO of Invicta, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Michael.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.